you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us today. It's opening day for Major League Baseball, and the Triple Play convenes next hour. It's actually a very special gala-themed event that we did last night for those who contributed for that special event. We had a lot of fun. Nick Roman of All Things Considered, A. Martinez, of course, of Take Two, and yours truly. And we have a significant excerpt of that preview of the 2021 baseball seasons for the Dodgers and Angels. That's coming up next hour on KPECC. We do have breaking news that straddles both COVID-19 and Major League Baseball. The San Francisco Giants just announced, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, that they will require all of their home fans attending games at Oracle Park in San Francisco to show either proof of being fully vaccinated, both shots if they have Moderna or Pfizer, or to show a negative COVID-19 test. That is the first time that we have heard of a sports venue that has enacted that kind of a restriction on attendance. The Angels are not doing that for tonight's game at the Big A in Anaheim against the Chicago White Sox. We also have other big COVID-19 news. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says the city will be taking over the Cal State Los Angeles vaccination site, which has been administered by FEMA. The federal government has run that site. They are withdrawing from it on April 11th, but the site will continue to stay open, according to Mayor Garcetti, under the direction of the city of Los Angeles. If you have questions about COVID-19, about vaccines, or about the increased eligibility today on this big day where all Californians 50 and over are now vaccine eligible, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Also the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And you can comment on the AirTalk Facebook page or tweet at AirTalk. Joining me is KPECC LAist reporter Carla Javier, who has assembled a wonderful guide at LAist.com having to do with the whole vaccination process. Carla, great to have you with us this morning.
Good morning, Larry.
So, first of all, those concerned that the Cal State LA site might be closing, this is obviously good news. That's been one of the busier sites, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's been a site, you know, particularly targeted for Los Angeles to help communities that had been hardest hit by COVID-19, but who might not have as easy access to other sites. You know, that Cal State LA site has its transit accessible. There are a number of public transportation options that you can take to go there. And what had been nice about that site is it helped, when run by FEMA, helped increase the number of doses that were available to Angelenos here.
All right. And there's also one not too far away at Lincoln Park. That's actually where my wife got her vaccination. So nice to see that part of Los Angeles being well served. Carla, the big difference here is going to be between the number of people seeking vaccinations now that the eligibility has been so widely expanded, and the restriction in the number of doses available and the locations where they're being given out. What advice do you have for listeners on attempting to schedule an appointment?
Well, I think the biggest piece of advice is to not get frustrated or give up if you aren't able to find an appointment immediately. You know, there are 1.4 million people in Los Angeles County alone in that 50 to 64-year-old age group that became eligible for vaccines today. But the county already knows and has been saying that there won't be enough doses immediately to vaccinate all of them. So, you know, you can check the different sites, check My Turn, you can check with the city City of LA. They have a site called Carbon Health. There's also a portal put up by the county at vaccinatelacounty.com. But you'll have to probably check a number of locations multiple times before you're able to find an open slot.
And there's also for the city of LA, the 211 line. I know they say they've helped 100,000 people be able to schedule vaccines.
Yeah, these hotlines are really important, Larry, especially for people who don't have regular access to the internet. So there is that city hotline that you just mentioned. There is also one with the county. I'm trying to pull it up right now, but it's 833-540-0473. So that is another way where people who might need language assistance or other types of assistance actually getting to a vaccination site, that is a hotline run by the county that you can call for help.
I was just mentioning the San Francisco Giants, according to the Chronicle, requiring either proof of full vaccination or a negative COVID test. This means, of course, that your vaccination record card is going to be extremely important. And, you know, people do lose things like that, or they, you know, become mangled, such things. What advice do you have for people with their vaccination cards? I saw, for example, there were some businesses, I guess, that are doing free laminating of those cards. Just don't do it until you get your second vaccine. But what advice do you have, given that those cards could become pretty important?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice I have on that, Larry, is, of course, not to lose it, but also, you know, to take a picture of it for your own records. So you have like a copy in case maybe you do misplace it. And yeah, to keep it somewhere safe. So that way you are able to have access to it for something like that. And also because if you're getting, like, say, a Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, like you mentioned, Larry, those are two doses in that series. And you'll need that proof of your first dose to be able to get that second shot.
And are there particular questions that a person getting vaccinated needs to ask at the location where they're getting their shot?
Yeah, I think if you have questions about like how the vaccine will affect you, you should ask your doctor about that ahead of time. But once you're at the vaccination site, a really important question to ask, especially if you're getting Pfizer or Moderna again, is how you will get that second dose. If you haven't already scheduled an appointment, how can you schedule that appointment now? We have received hundreds of questions in our newsroom about that second dose. It varies by location. So that's why it is so important while you're there with your vaccinator to go ahead and ask how you will get that.
All right. Very good. And if you have questions for Carla Javier, our KPCC and LAist reporter, who is kind of clearinghouse of all this information that she's putting together on the vaccination process, et cetera. Mustafa in Irvine has a question for you, Carla. I don't know if this is something you've run across, but he's specifically looking for the J&J one-shot vaccine. He works in Orange County and in LA County in San Diego. So he's traveling quite a bit for his work. He's in LA today, tomorrow in San Diego. Do you know specifically which locations are more apt to have the Johnson & Johnson?
Not specifically, but one thing you can look at is if you go to that website I mentioned, vaccinatelacounty.com, it'll link you to LA County's vaccination portal. And if you click through, it's a little hard to find, but there are different parts of that process where there's a button that says something along the lines of like, click to view locations or click to make an appointment at one of these locations. If you do that, a number of the vaccine sites, not all of them, but a number of them, will actually list which vaccine that they are offering. I don't know how often that's updated. And we know that like supply of any of the vaccines, including Johnson & Johnson, can vary. But that is one place to look at if you're looking specifically to do a first step. Another thing I should also say is my colleague Jackie Fortier was reporting about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And she mentioned that a number of the vaccination pop-up sites around the county use that vaccine for that exact reason, because it's one shot and you don't necessarily have to go through the the process of the follow-up second shot.
And you don't have to deal with the extreme freezing as you do with the mRNA vaccines as well, which makes it more portable, certainly. We have Amy tweeting at AirTalk, the Carbon Health website had lots of open appointments, even for today. And Carla, can you explain Carbon Health? Because that's one of the places that coordinates appointments. Are they working with LA County or LA City? What's Carbon's involvement?
Yeah, Carbon Health is the portal that the city of Los Angeles uses for its vaccination sites. So the sites run in conjunction with the fire department. So that is a good place to check for the city mass vaccination sites for appointments if you're eligible to get vaccinated at those sites. I believe if you live in LA County, you're also eligible, but definitely if you live in the city of Los Angeles, you'd be eligible at a Carbon Health site.
All right. We're joined by KPCC and LA's Carla Javier. If you have any specific questions about getting vaccinated locally with the eligibility expanded to all Californians 50 years of age and up, effective today, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Tom in Pasadena says, I was wondering, for people who've lost their vaccination card, I do know that Walgreens and CVS provide a personal prescription notice. Would it be possible to print out the prescription information in order to get a vaccine card issued? I don't know, Tom. You probably would have to ask at the local pharmacy involved. Carla, would you have anything to add to that?
I'm not actually familiar with that. I'll have to look into that and we'll try to follow up. I do know that there are some, I think with the county locations, that also issue some kind of electronic record of your vaccine. So that might be something to look into as well.
All right. Very good, Tom. Thanks very much. Carla's going to stay with us to answer your questions, but I'm so pleased to have with us, as he joins us every week, Dr. Dean Blumberg, professor of medicine and chief of pediatric infectious diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital. Dr. Blumberg, welcome back.
Good morning, Larry.
So good to have you with us. First of all, your thoughts about the opening to a much wider sector of the California populace today.
Well, the more eligibility that there is, it means that it's going to be more efficient to deliver the vaccine. I think one of the challenges we had at the beginning of our vaccination efforts was that the eligibility was sort of difficult to figure out, and it was a small portion of the population. So I think this makes it easy for everybody, for the public as well as for the vaccinators.
And then, of course, beginning in just 2 weeks from today, all Californians 16 years of age and up will be eligible. So that brings it to everybody for whom the vaccines have received emergency use authorization. So probably good for people in the 50 to age 65 demographic to try and get scheduled before it opens up essentially to everybody beginning in 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, because after that, I think there will be increased demand. And so it is very useful for those who are the 50 to 64-year-olds to try to prioritize at least getting that first dose now.
Now, you've seen the news, of course, about Pfizer showing the tremendous effectiveness in the real world of their vaccine. And with the news today that it is at least effective for a 6-month period of time, that's obviously very good news. But you have any sense from what we're seeing so far, Dr. Blumberg, of how lasting the effect of the vaccine might ultimately be?
Well, we were expecting that after infection with COVID, that people would be protected for at least 3 or 4 months, based on our experience with other coronaviruses, and that's bearing out. The protection lasts at least 3 months. Reinfection within that time period is extraordinarily rare, and it looks like it's probably going to last at least 6 months or so. The immune response following immunization is equivalent to or better than the immune response following infection. So we do expect that the immune response to vaccines to protect for longer periods of time. And we just don't know how long that's going to be, but we're hoping for at least a year and hopefully even longer.
All right, 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. We saw a huge number of doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine apparently were erroneously formulated and will not be able to be distributed here in the United States. Dr. Blumberg, what's your sense of how much of a delay that might be while J&J remanufactures to meet that demand?
Yeah, so what I've seen is it was just the one batch, and they do have extensive quality control practices in place. And so any batch that doesn't meet those is not going to go forward. So that's a good news in a way that the process is working, that we're making sure that all the vaccines that are distributed are safe and that they will elicit an adequate immune response. But it does set back the availability of vaccine, and especially, as you mentioned earlier, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine does have some advantages, especially for those who are hard to reach and may not be able to get the second dose, those who are homeless, those who don't have much access to care, those who are maybe in-home and have limited mobility and can't get out much. That's the vaccine that really is very good for them.
Peggy in Fullerton says, we know the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are causing a stronger immune response, making people, in many cases, feeling ill for a day or two. What kind of a response are people having after their injection with the Johnson & Johnson?
You know, it's very similar to after the first dose of the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccines. The worst reactions really come after the second dose. So that's another advantage of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is there is no second dose, so you don't have those reactions. But I would also caution, I've heard a lot about people talking about how the reactions indicate an excellent immune response, and that's caused me to field questions from people who didn't have any reactions, wondering if the vaccine was working. And remember that in the vaccine trials that about half of the patients had very few adverse effects following immunization, and yet the vaccine trials showed 95% protection. So even if you don't have these reactions, I wouldn't be discouraged. You're still, you know, almost certainly protected.
All right, 866-893-KPECC. Delia in Chatsworth said, in response to Mustafa, who was looking for a place to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, Delia says she was on the myturn.ca.gov website, and her husband was able to get a Johnson & Johnson vaccine appointment at Cal State LA today. And she said the last time they checked, she doesn't say when that was, but there were still appointments available for the late afternoon. So she just wanted to pass that on. Mustafa, if you're listening, that would be something for you to check because you specifically want the J&J vaccine. We'll continue with Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital, and KPCC reporter Carla Javier, who has many of the details about vaccination. We'll be back in just 1 minute. I work with the most thoughtful team here on Air Talk on KPCC. Today is our 36th anniversary. Air Talk, the longest continuously running daily program in the history of Los Angeles radio. I don't feel that old, but we've been on a long time. April 1st, 1985, when I started Air Talk, and our producer team got me two huge balloons I have in studio with me and a bottle of champagne, and I appreciate you folks so much. I'm honored to be on the same team with you all, so thank you for your generosity and your thoughtfulness. I'm very, very touched. It's a really, really nice day to a nice way to celebrate the day here at KPECC. We're talking also about what's certainly celebration worthy for Californians between age 50 and 64 who heretofore have not been eligible for vaccination unless having an underlying health condition making them vulnerable to COVID-19. And then in 2 weeks, that opens up for everyone age 16 and up, regardless of health condition, to be able to get a COVID-19 vaccine if appointments are available. We're talking with Dr. Dean Blumberg, professor of medicine and chief of UC Davis Children's Hospital's Pediatric Infectious Diseases Division, and KPCC and LAist reporter Carla Javier, who's put together a tremendous resource at LAist.com with just about everything you'd want to know about getting a vaccination. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Diamond in West Hollywood said, I heard there was a site for drive-through vaccination in East Hollywood, but I don't know anything about where it is or any other drive-through sites in the Hollywood area generally. Carla, do you know anything about those?
I don't know specifically what site they're referring to, but that is actually a really important point to bring up, especially when it comes to access to your site. When you're making an appointment for a vaccine, you know, if you have access to a car and are able to access a drive-through site, that is important to note. But if you don't have access to a car and your site is drive-through only, that's also important to note so you can make some plans around that. I don't know specifically about the Hollywood region off the top of my head, but I do know that if you look, say, at the LA County portal and look at their megapods of distribution, they label pretty clearly which ones are drive-through only and which ones are ones where you could like park and walk up.
All right. I need to just interrupt this conversation to bring you an update on that terrible mass shooting in the city of Orange last night. The news conference just concluded, and let me just give you some very brief details. We'll be getting more from KPCC reporter Jill Replogle in just a moment. But the gunman who killed four people and wounded a fifth at an office complex on Lincoln in the city of Orange knew all the victims, either through business or knew them personally. The Orange Police Department revealing that the gunman had chained the gates to the complex so that they were closed, so officers who responded could only engage him from outside. Police have withheld the identities of those killed, but said one was a 9-year-old boy. The others were a man and two women. The gunman was wounded and hospitalized. Again, this happened in the city of Orange last night. Officers arrived as shots were ringing out at the building, which includes a mobile home brokerage. We'll have more details from KPCC's Jill Replogle, who has been attending the news conference. She will be joining us shortly. Let's take a call now from Aaron in Culver City. Aaron, your question, please, on Air Talk.
Hi, my wife and I are getting vaccinated today, and we have an 11-year-old at home who's going to be going back to school. And I know that we're going to start vaccinating the 16-year-olds and up real soon. So I want to know what we're doing for our little ones who are not 16, 15, 14, 13.
Perfect question for the pediatrician himself, Dr. Blumberg.
Yeah, so many people are probably aware of the studies that were just released recently from Pfizer showing that 12 to 15-year-olds had excellent protection. They had more than 2,200 in this age group who were studied, and there were zero infections in the vaccine group and 18 in the placebo group. So it appeared to protect 100%. Of course, with larger numbers, there'll probably be some vaccine breakthroughs. But an excellent immune response, and so we hope that later, maybe sometime in the summer or fall, it'll be available for the 12 to 15-year-olds. For younger children, 6 months to 11 years of age, there are studies already underway, and so those studies look very promising also, and we hope to get vaccine available even later in the year for the younger children.
All right. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org, for your questions. We had one from a listener. I'm trying to find it. I've misplaced his comment, but He used to live in San Bernardino County, I believe it was, and has now moved west. And he was not able to get the vaccine because he couldn't prove his county residency where he now lives. Carla, what would you recommend to be able to get the vaccine for someone whose driver license shows that he, you know, lives at the previous, not current address?
Well, the driver's license isn't actually the only way to prove that. I'm trying to pull up the documents now, but it's important to say that, you know, there are these different eligibility requirements that you have to prove, but you don't have to prove them with government-issued documents. There are other options. I'm trying to pull them up right now. I can't at the moment, but at vaccinatelacounty.com, they actually have a list of different ways you can prove where you live. Oh, here we go. Including if you had a utility bill, a postmarked letter in LA County, vehicle registration, a number of other documents, tax, bank documents. Those are other ways to prove that you live in LA County, even if you don't have a government-issued ID that says that.
All right. Lorian in Long Beach says, I'm a teacher, live in Long Beach, got my first Moderna shot February 26th. Since then, California's transitioned to my turn. I haven't been notified of anything for a second shot, and I've been turned away three times from the walk-up because they only had Pfizer. I don't know where to go. What should I do?
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that that happening. We do have a guide that goes into a bit of more detail about this on our website. It's called How to Get the Second Dose. And we have learned that there are a number of vaccination sites in LA County that will allow you actually to schedule just your second dose appointment if that's what you need. If you're able to prove eligibility and prove that you were able to get your first shot. There's a number of them, and we list them actually on our website, las.com, a number of pharmacies, some health providers that you can try to find just that second dose only, specifically for Moderna. With those vaccine providers.
Yeah. And she doesn't say, I don't know if she was vaccinated in Long Beach because they have their own health department. And I don't know if they're only sending people to my turn or not responsive. But I would also think, Carla, I don't know, that turning up at a place that is giving Moderna and explaining her situation, perhaps they would give her the second dose.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, too. But if you want kind of the security of an appointment and knowing that there's one available, there are different, you know, pharmacies, clinics that have specifically said that they will, you know, do just that second dose for you.
That's great. Dr. Blumberg, anything to add?
Well, I would just reassure that the first dose, after the first dose, that 2 weeks later, that there's about 80% protection against disease. And if there is a delay in the second dose, then you are delaying that boost up there, but you never have to restart the vaccine series, no matter how long the delay is. And we do expect equivalent or better responses with a longer interval between doses. So yes, I would encourage to get that second dose, but the delay is not a cause for alarm.
All right. Let's see. We have more questions that are coming in. Let's see. Sandy and Tarzana, I had COVID back in January, which lasted 4 weeks. I was told I had to wait 3 months to get vaccinated, but the CDC doesn't indicate that particularly, and I'd like to get vaccinated now. I was told to talk to a doctor. I don't have any underlying issues. Should I see a doctor before I get the vaccine? That's Sandy and Tarzana. Dr. Blumberg?
Yeah, you don't need to see a doctor. The CDC notes that after getting infected, that reinfection within 90 days of infection is extraordinarily rare, so you're likely protected. So there's no rush to get vaccinated. But as soon as you've recovered, you can go ahead and receive the vaccine. And they specifically state that on the CDC website that there is no minimum interval from recovery to being vaccinated. So if you feel up to it and you're out of the quarantine period, you're no longer infectious, then you're eligible now to be vaccinated.
All right. We've also had a question about, you know, why, since we're now seeing the high degree of effectiveness of the vaccines, why we're still having some of the, you know, people are being told to wear masks, you know, so frequently if they've been fully vaccinated. Is it just that other people don't necessarily know you've been fully vaccinated? So to ease people's anxiety, is it just, you know, for modeling so that unvaccinated people don't feel it's safe to take down their masks? Or is there a specific medical benefit to the vaccinated person or to the public of the fully vaccinated person masking?
You know, all the vaccines are about 90% effective in preventing transmission also, even asymptomatic transmission. So vaccinated people are really protected themselves, and they're protected from infecting others to a large degree. But that's still not 100% protection. So even asymptomatic vaccinated people could transmit to others. And I think the first reason that you mentioned, Larry, is really key, in that you don't know who's vaccinated or not. So it just makes sense for everybody to wear a mask in public. You know, if I was around somebody in public and they weren't wearing a mask, you know, I don't know that they're vaccinated or not. I'd feel uncomfortable with that. And even if they told me, I don't know them. I don't know that I'd trust them if they said that they were vaccinated. You know, I trust my close friends and colleagues and family members if they tell me, but, you know, I have a relationship with them. So that's different. So I think it protects everybody to continue to wear a mask in public until we do achieve a higher level of immunity throughout our communities and we have something approaching herd immunity.
Dr. Blumberg, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for being with us today on Air Talk. We so appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your 36th anniversary.
Thank you so much, Dr. Blumberg. A very important part of this past year is he's joined us weekly from UC Davis Children's Hospital, where he's chief of pediatric infectious diseases. He's also professor of medicine, UC Davis School of Medicine, Dr. Dean Blumberg. And Carla Javier, before I let you go, can you briefly share with us what you've got at LAS.com as an ongoing resource for us?
Yeah, it's basically a checklist and a list of resources to help you make your own vaccine game plan, from what you have to consider before booking an appointment, how to actually get an appointment, how to get to your appointment, things to bring with you so you don't forget anything important when it's your time to get your shot, the questions you can ask while you're there getting your shot, and what you can and can't do after your appointment.
Carla, thanks. I know you've put a tremendous amount of work into compiling this. Thank you, and thank you for the many, many hours and days of study that you've done tracking all of this down. We appreciate it.
Happy to help, Larry.
KPCC and LAist reporter Carla Javier.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.